I'm Bob Franklin. On this edition of Like It Is, my guest is Debbie Nash King, Mayor of Killeen, Texas. Today's program profiles the mayor and her leadership style. What prepared you to be the leader that you are today? I mean, what were some of the points in your formative years that helped you to develop into the leader that you are today?
Wow, that's a great question. I think with leadership, it's something that you learn as you grow. I'm from Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm the fourth child, middle child. I have four sisters and two brothers. I come from a humble beginning. My political career started out in my neighborhood. We did not have running sewer or sidewalks, and my grandmother took on the charge to ensure that we had those things. So she was instrumental in getting the first black alderman in our city, Pine Bluff, elected. So during the campaign, I got involved and walked with them as they campaigned throughout the neighborhood. And I attended the meetings at a young age. I was like 11, 12. So I really got the insight on the struggle and what it meant to have passion for something greater than yourself, because the individual that won the election, he didn't live in that neighborhood. He was from an upper part of Pine Bluff, and he came and got involved and wanted to make a difference, and that had such a big impact on me. So I got married, had a child, went through some changes in a very difficult domestic violence kind of relationship at a young age. And I got out, and I would advise anyone, if you're in that kind of relationship, find shelter, get out. And ROTC became my way out. I was just at college, starting over at 28 years old, trying to get my life together with a child. I wanted the best for her because I knew that I did not want to go back to the life of poverty. And I think as a leader, that's the first step. You have to recognize there needs to be a change. Whether it's in your life personally or in the community, a change must happen in order for you to get to the next level. So I got into ROTC, saw a young lady with a uniform, and she was running things. And I asked her, "What are you doing?" She said, "ROTC." And so I got in ROTC my junior year, had to play catch up. Went to a couple of camps to get me prepared to become a second lieutenant. I was a medical service corps officer. And the military is an excellent way to have a solid foundation. Okay, why would you say that? Because I didn't have those leadership skills. I knew that I wanted to do something to make change, but I didn't know how. So the military gave me the basic foundation, how to be a leader, how to know how to follow, and also know how to lead. Because I say anyone that's a great leader, they have had to have gone through some things in order to pull him or herself out of it. So that was very important to me. When they say the struggle is real, it is real. But how long do you stay in that struggle? So that was the basic foundation. And when I got out of the military, went into grad school, one of my masters is in social work from the University of Southern California, and I have a HR master's from Tarleton State University. I had to go to CTC to get some classes, you know, because I need the community computer science class here for grad school here. So that was where I started, and my daughter and I was able, once I had gotten into the military, to purchase my first home. And I think that's important for everyone as a leader. You have to have a solid foundation in your family, because if your family is not stable, how can you really go out and make a change in other people's lives, and you're worried about how you're going to eat, how you're going to pay your bills? So that's part of the leadership that I would tell people to follow that roadway.
I want to go back to a point that you made in reference to the person you saw who was in the ROTC uniform, female. I want to talk about role model, the importance of modeling those types of positive leadership skills that you see in people who are your gender, who look like you. Talk a little bit about those individuals.
That's a great question. I think during that time in my life, I was really wrestling with low self-esteem, self-worth, worth coming out of a domestic violent relationship. And for me to see someone, a female, that looks like me, and her leadership and how strong she was and how she was making things happen in the positive direction, that was very powerful to me, because I was not, other than my grandmother, seeing what she had done at her age, but this individual was my age. So it was different for me. And I think it's important for us as leaders to be role models and from every perspective. And that means walk the walk. You know, if we're going to say that we're going to make change in our community, in our home, if we're in any occupation, be the best you can be, because there's someone that's younger than you, regardless of the ethnicity of that individual. They're looking up to you, because you never know what people are going through. But when they see that you can do it, and they see the struggle and what you have gone through to get there, that will give them that self-motivation to want to do better and make that change, because it's possible to do it.
And let me talk about the military. We know the military obviously is one of our proudest institutions in this country. Talk about the influence, the impact the military had on you and your life and your career.
Thank you. I believe in this scripture, many are called, but few are chosen. And I think the military is a way out for individuals that have not made a decision on what he or she would like to do in life. When you get out of high school, you may not want to go to college or vocational school, but the military is a way to learn those leadership skills. It's also, you have food and shelter. Those are things that you need as you grow as an adult. And it teaches you how to manage your money and work well with others. I love the military. If it was not for the military, I would not be who I am today. And people say, oh, you're just trying to recruit. It's not about recruitment. It's the truth. Because that was my way out. I never had in my mind that I would be going into the military. I didn't even know what an officer was. But when I got into the military and I met people from all over the world, and I had the opportunity to excel, there are so many benefits in going into the military. Because when I received my first master's, they paid a percentage of it. And that was important to me, to get the opportunity as a young black female to come into an environment that I was not accustomed to. Because in my neighborhood, everyone looked like me. And it taught me so much about how to get past how a person looked and dig deep inside to learn about the individual. Because when you go into war, you're not concerned about who's to your left or to your right based on their skin color. You're concerned about, do they have your back? And I think the military will teach any young individual how to lead, but also how to work well with others.
And as the chief executive officer of the city of Killeen, you are working with different entities in and around the area. And one of our northern neighbor, Fort Hood, one of the largest military installations in the world, how does Killeen benefit from this relationship, and how do you cultivate that relationship?
That's another great question. What a lot of people do not realize, that a lot of the military soldiers live in Killeen. Fort Hood could only hold so many families. And we have families throughout Killeen, Harker Heights, Copper's Cove, Lampasas, because there is a housing shortage, even with the city of Killeen. And we have soldiers that may be a sergeant, that may be single, they may live in an apartment or also a home. So we have an excellent relationship with Fort Hood, and it's significant. We have interlocal agreements. One instance, if we have a major fire in Killeen, we can count on Fort Hood to have our back. When we went through the winter storm, even though we have the reserve units to help us, but also Fort Hood is there. So we have a partnership. It's like a sister city. So we work extremely well together on issues and concerns that not only affect Fort Hood, but the city of Killeen. The comprehensive plan for the city of Killeen, what makes it so unique is that it is our 10-year plan. And that is the foundation on how we want to see the city grow. What I like about the comprehensive plan, that we took all of our plans that we had previously and we put it all into one plan. The citizens of Killeen had input, the stakeholders, the business owners, and also leaders. We asked the other entities that's around us, KISD, Fort Hood. We got everybody input on how we want to see the city grow. And what's significant about this plan is that we don't have to do it in a certain order, but we must stick to it because we spent so much resources and time investing in it. We want to see our neighborhoods to be not a neighborhood, but a subdivision. Why is that important? Everything in a neighborhood should connect together. The sidewalks, it should have amenities like a dog park, a playground area, a walking trail. And when I walk out my front door, I shouldn't have to get in my car to have to drive. I should be able to walk down the street to a coffee shop or go get my haircut or whatever I need. A child care should be closed. Those are some of the things that we're looking at. Also, we wanted to invest in our downtown Killeen with the Mount Warrior Museum coming. Why would we want someone to have to drive somewhere else and we can invest in downtown Killeen and have like restaurants, a place where people could dance, entertainment, a pool hall, just a place for them to shop and just really enjoy his or herself. So we really want to focus on revitalizing our downtown area, which I thought was important. And I think the most important part of the plan is that as leaders, we have to have an open relationship with our residents. We have to be transparent and upfront. And if there's a concern, a crisis, we need to bring it to their attention. So the comprehensive plan, it's very important to us, and I'm grateful that we have it put in place.
As we run toward the end of our segment here, I'm Bob Franklin. I'm speaking with the Honorable Debbie Nash King. She is mayor of our city, Killeen, Texas, here. And Mayor, I want to bring us almost back to full circle here before we conclude. I just want to ask you this question. When speaking to young audiences, what advice do you give to them, especially young ladies, about leadership and successful leadership attributes? I know you touched on that a little bit, but maybe reiterate a couple of those points.
Thank you. Never give up. I am an ordained minister, and my faith is the foundation of who I am. I've always believed that all things are possible, and the only way we can make that possible, we have to believe in ourselves, and we have to stay focused on what's important, and that's making our dreams come true and just be real and true to who we are.
Today's guest was Debbie Nash King, mayor of Killeen, Texas. I'm Bob Franklin. This is Like It Is. Here now is Denny Luna.
Thank you, Bob. On this edition of Like It Is, we're speaking with Dr. Nicole Gruel, an author, a speaker, a wellness coach, a samurai, and a mother. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Denny Luna. It is a pleasure to be here and wonderful to finally meet you.
Well, fantastic to have you here. So I would love to have you summarize succinctly what it is that you really focus on.
I am here on this planet to help people shine bright. That's the most succinct I could ever be with it. I want to turn lights on. I want that spark that is in people already to shine as bright as it possibly can so they can get on doing their amazing thing, use their gifts, use their voice, use their body and being in whatever way they were born to do and so intelligently designed to do, and just get out and do it, because the world, my goodness, right now, especially, right, more than ever, we need people out there doing and shining their most brilliant best, because the old is falling apart and the new is here, and it's time to step up.
Some people are focusing and going within and really using this as a time for breakthroughs. And other people are getting a little angry and forced to be alone. And it's not always easy to dig down.
Yeah, totally. And because we love growth when we choose it. And we put our hand up and we say, now's the best time in my life to go ahead and make this next step. What we don't like about this time is that it's been imposed upon us. And we humans, we love our choice and our freedom, especially over there in the USA, right? And so when we have a system that imposes upon us things and behaviors and ideas, we resist. And I think that's actually an excellent part of this grand awakening that seems to be taking place right now, is perhaps that's part of what's actually been needed. There's been so many people who have made the conscious choice over time to step up and step forward and figure out their best life and do all of that. It's like that conversation about medicine, you know, prevention before cure. There's a lot of people, particularly in the peripheral scenes, who went for prevention for such a long time. They understand you need to sleep well and be around the right people and go figure out who you are in the world. And these people are doing pretty well in their lives. And we come to this point right now, and most of those folks are going, okay, cool. We were ready for this. And now what am I going to do? So they're in a frame where they can figure out the next steps. But if we've been taking that approach to life that is, forget about prevention before cure. It's like the disease, the dis-ease that we are in is here now, and I want it to end and I want it to go away. Of course, there's going to be a level of freaking out, because how we do something is how we do everything, right? And so if we have not been prepared for this time, of course, there's a whole heap of grief and shock and anger and resentment going on, definitely. And this is part of what is here for us to work with and work through collectively now.
So you're the perfect person to talk to about this, because you work with transformative experiences. In fact, you have a nice acronym for those. And there are other people that do similar kind of work, but you are in a unique niche. And I love how you incorporate a system that actually catalogs these amazing experiences, and then you work with people's gifts and how they can shine and transform into certain ways. And so I know I'm not explaining the whole thing of what you do, but I want to give our audience a little bit of a glimpse into what types of client stories and cases you've been dealing with for a long time.
Yeah, well, I think you explained that really well. When people have awakening or notes, non-ordinary transcendent experiences, there's a whole process of things that can take place. And so I work with people at various ends and places within that spectrum. And so at the beginning end, there's the event, right? Or the series of events. So that might be an experience many over many years in time. And again, some people might put their hand up and say, I want to understand and know me more. So they go deep into wisdom paths and meditation and yoga and now psychedelics and, you know, whatever the pathway is for people, right? They just want to open consciousness. So some people dive deep down that pathway, whereas some people just have an experience spontaneously and they were never even asking for it. And those people especially, that can be quite a rude awakening and quite abrupt. People might have a near-death experience. I mean, goodness, you almost lose your life to have that. Some people, many now actually are having them through medical awakenings like cancer. Cancer is huge. And I've spoken to a whole handful of people, women mostly, who have said that's been the best thing that's ever happened to me, because I had to get to that point in order to know certain things about myself and wake up to certain ways that were being and truths. So an awakening can take so many different shapes and forms. You know, when we have value changes within us and we decide to make some pretty either subtle or drastic shifts in our lives, like the person I was just isn't working anymore and I'm shifting, the first place of impact can be our intimate relationships and our family. Hopefully we have partners and people around us who can shift with us or at least be open with us as we navigate our own changes. But there are other times where, you know, it's two boats in the night and they just have to go their separate ways. Ultimately, folks who have awoken to a greater version of self want to have conscious relationships and want to be really loving. And so when you're dealing with toxic relationships, toxic people, especially historical ones, navigating that can be so tricky. And then we can get more into the long term. So there are folks who they've had their experiences, they've dealt with the immediate bits, and now they're out in the world. And here the changes are more like, I want to be living in alignment with who I know myself to be. So that means my environment feels a particular way. My circles of people are uplifting and empowering because we want to resonate on the same vibrations and frequencies where we can encourage one another to be the best human beings that we can be. There's a lot of entrepreneurs in this space because they don't fit the mold. Entrepreneurs and artists, because our creative skills open up.
We are speaking with Dr. Nicole Gruel. So when you're talking about the notes and you described some examples like the near-death experience, being sick in general with cancer, what other types of experiences might those be? Because I think people in the audience might be kind of wondering, did I have one of those?
Yeah, absolutely. So Dr. William Broad was a transpersonal psychologist that created the term NOTES, non-ordinary transcendent experiences. And he did it because he wanted to bring together three big fields: transpersonal experiences, paranormal experiences, and exceptional human experiences. Now, when you pile those three areas together, and they're areas because the way they do academic study and find out about the phenomena itself, they're all a bit different in their approaches. And he was like, no, really, we're talking kind of about the same thing here. So we brought them all together. And when you add them all together, it turns out that we have more than 500 and counting types of experiences that can fit under those. So what else? What else fits under there? The near-death experiences we spoke about, mystical experiences. You know, you have your meditators, and mindfulness is massive right now. Mindfulness and meditation and yoga, these have become very pretty popular common practices. And when you do them, their intention is to center you and open you. And as you become more open, you start to have experiences about consciousness, about energy. Martial arts can be another road as well, when you get so deeply attuned to your body.
Or people that maybe have someone pass away and they feel like that person is there sending them a message. I'd say so many people have those kind of experiences, and yet they're not really openly talked about.
Absolutely. That's exactly why I'm on the mission I am, which is to normalize these experiences, not to say that these are normal. You know, they are extraordinary experiences that point towards our extraordinary capacities as human, but we can all have them. We all have access to them. And they're normal insofar as we humans get to have them. There's nothing abnormal about a person that has them. So they are very common, especially that one that you mentioned. Thank you for bringing those up. Peak states and connection with deceased loved ones. Really, really common, and deceased pets. But let's go with probably peak states, because a lot of people know that one. Let's go with loved ones crossing over. And also I would put in their dreams, and sometimes big dreams. Those are ones that most people in their lifetime are going to touch upon at least one of those in some way. We all love someone and we've all lost someone, and we all desire a connection even once that person has gone, with some remaining connection to them. And there's so many people who don't have a spiritual bone in their body, have never believed in ghosts, have never had any kind of encounter, and yet on the passing of a loved one, things will happen where they know beyond any shadow of a doubt that that is from that person, and nothing will convince them otherwise. You know, so when something like that happens, you start looking at the world slightly differently because it's shifted your previous paradigm into something else.
What would you say to them in terms of encouragement about entrepreneurs and business success?
Get in touch with yourself and your soul. There's an inner compass in there somewhere, and the external world is so busy, and we can get so caught up in the 1,000 things to do every single day, especially when we have families and businesses, because it's never ending, is it? It's really never ending. So this time that we're in now is reminding us of that it's possible to take a pause, and it's quite good to do that too. It you know, it's healthy to take a pause and to have a bit of an autumn and winter in our lives. This modern world lives in a perpetual spring to summer phase, and entrepreneurship is like that as well. It's this constant, you know, growth and movement and business, right? How does it keep growing? But if we look to nature and we look at what growth actually is, it's sustainable because it has cycles and patterns, and some of those are letting go cycles. Some of those in the wintertime are stillness and just retreating into that core pulse of life and shedding in the autumn time. You know, that is a healthy thing to do. So it's okay to take a pause from our own lives and our busyness and take a breath and step back and reevaluate. And, you know, folks who are in businesses for themselves and entrepreneurial, they're driven, they're motivated. I mean, motivation, creativity, and good hard work is not their issue. They know how to do that. What the issue so often is self-care and restfulness. So the interesting thing, especially about creativity, is when we let go of the obsession of trying to do or create, when we just let it go, actually that's when even more fruitful phases can come about.
Dr. Nicole Gruel, an author, a speaker, a wellness coach, a samurai, and a mother.
Thanks, Denny. You're listening to the Public Affairs program, Like It Is.
I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.